3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And that means it's time for another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens, joined again by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney.
Here I am. Back. Hi, how's it going?
Going well. Have enjoyed some summer weather this week. Oh, felt so good.
I know. Don't you feel like you're back in your element? Like, it's like somebody just took a light switch and just went click, and then, okay, we're all back.
Yeah, everybody's got the smiles on their faces.
People are driving real crazy. It's awesome. So many awesome things are going on with this weather, including the May All-Stars event. So we've been living under a rock these past few weeks. Exfabula Radio has been featuring all of Season 9's audience favorites from our season story slams. And we are putting them up on stage on Friday, May 18th at Turner Hall Ballroom for our Grand Slam All-Stars finale. So it's going to be good. These are the All-Pros from Season 9 coming up. And they're going to be telling a different story, a little bit longer form, up to 10 minutes, because usually it's 5 minutes that we give people up on stage. And the theme this time is going to be connections. Mm. It's a really great theme.
Definitely.
Yes, yes. So right now, we actually had two story slams in March. We took 1 month off to do a spectacular and a curated slam earlier this year. So our first slam that we had in March was the theme of karma, and the second one was TMI. So we have two winners from there. Let's listen. First one, Karma Slam in March. Here is Barbara Lee.
Karma is an incredibly wondrous thing, very mysterious. 20 years with my partner Robert was truly cosmic. I mean, we were so different, and yet we really fit together. And he was a great storyteller. And Robert had incredible karma. He escaped death at least 10 times, and sometimes in very spectacular fashion. But the last time, the 11th time, when they wanted to do one more procedure, and he was like, you know, my heart's failing, my kidney's failing, I'm in pain. No, I'm done. I'm going into hospice. And he died September 10th, very calmly, very peacefully, and pain-free. And then I was alone. And I was like, I don't know if I was in denial or what, but I realized that I hadn't really thought about how I was going to manage to stay in my apartment without him in terms of the rent. So I started trying to find a roommate. I put in notices at MSOE, MATC, UWM. It was October 1st. And I wasn't really sure how I was going to manage this. Well, I was going to go out, and I got a call from the management office. Barbara, are you still interested in a roommate? Oh, yes. Well, there may be somebody here who would also be interested. Why don't you come on down and meet her? Oh, yes. So I came down, and I met this very lovely, very young, 22 or 23-year-old, with her parents. And she explained she's from Slinger. She'd just gotten this great job in Milwaukee. And she was so excited because she was supposed to move into a townhouse that very day. And she'd already put in her deposit. But her roommate had called her the night before and said, oh, I'm so sorry, but I just realized I added up all the money that it would cost me, and I was realizing I just can't move in with you next week. Really? She was pretty hysterical. She didn't know what to do. I said, well, you can come on up and take a look at the apartment. So she and her parents came up. They looked at the bedroom, and I was like, yeah, this is bigger than the one in the townhouse. And then she said, and I said, well, you know, you could have it furnished or unfurnished, and you can keep the big screen TV. Oh, and I'd have my own bathroom? Well, yeah. And how much does it cost? Well, that's a little less than the townhouse. I really started to like this person. She was really practical. She was asking all the right questions. I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, I really have to think about it. I'll call you tomorrow and let you know. So she called me the next day, and she said, well, there are four things that I really need. I need to make sure that it's clean, it's neat, and it's safe. So I want us to make sure to lock the door. I want to make sure that we clean up after ourselves, that it's tidy. And I want to make sure that, you know, I can have some space in the kitchen to, for all my things. Like, I like this person. She's really practical. So, yeah. And then she said, well, I also want to bring my piano, because I play the piano. And I'm like, a piano? Wow, she plays the piano, and I love piano. I'm like, I think this could work. She's like, well, yeah. She took a moment. I think so, too. And she moved in 2 days later, and it has been fabulous. She likes my stories. She also helps me with my computer glitches, of course. I show her banana pancakes with fried bananas. It's really something else. And then, you know, she plays piano beautifully. Mozart, Chopin, all the good ones. And then we do kickboxing together. I tell you. I still miss Robert terribly, but I'm not lonely. My friends say it's Robert still looking after me. I don't know what it is, but I'm really thankful for the mysteries and wonderfulness of karma. Who knew?
And that was Barbara Lee. She was the audience favorite for the first Story Slam that we had in March, where the theme was karma.
That was such a nice story. And when you think of how wrong roommate situations can go, it's so great to hear the opposite story where something goes so right.
Yes, which rarely happens. Yeah. You know, you always remember the bad ones.
Yeah. I also wish that karma could transfer like that, because I'd like to, you know, inherit some other people's good karma as well.
Yeah, that's so true. So we have some other events coming up. One on Wednesday, May 9th, next week. The fellowship event is themed Media and Representation, which is going to be held at 88.9. This is going to be a really interesting event. It's going to talk about media and who's represented, who is not being represented. And then on Tuesday, May 22nd, we have a volunteer orientation. So all of those who want to be cool and want to get hip to helping the community out and feel good in turn can definitely come to that. And of course, on Friday, May 18th, we have our All-Stars. The theme is connection. And let's just move right into our second story. This was from the second Story Slam that we had in March. The theme was TMI, and as you can imagine, it was a rowdy night.
Too much information.
Yeah. So the audience favorite from that night was Young Kim. So it's bleeperific, but an awesome story, and here's why. Let's listen.
I know some of you are wondering, what flavor is he? I'm Korean. My parents came over here from Korea in the 1950s as graduate students. They met here, and then they had me. I was born in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, grew up in Louisiana and North Carolina. I like to tell people that I am South Korean. But growing up in the South as an Asian was kind of a I remember my first day of kindergarten. I got to the school, and I'm milling around, and some older kids got around me, and I guess they had not seen an Asian before. They wanted to know what I was. They wanted to know my name. I told them, Young Kim, and Young Kim is like Joe Smith in Korea, but this is New Orleans. And one of the kids says, Kim, that's a girl's last name. So I went back home to tell my parents, and they told me, well, next time that happens, just tell them that you're an American citizen. And my knowledge of playground justice when I was five told me that that line of reasoning, no matter how reasonable or logical, was not going to fly. So I knew they would be of no help, so I decided I would never bring it up to them again. And so I decided I would just try to fit in. But fitting in is hard when your parents speak the language with an accent. Korea does not have what they call definite or indefinite objects, the, a, or an. So when you have a language that where you have to say the cat or a house, you know, it gets kind of confusing. So one day my dad's driving me and of some high school friends somewhere, and he decided to have a conversation with us about drugs. And he goes, so, do you know anyone who smokes the pot? After college, though, I worked for a company that sent me to Korea, and I was ecstatic. And I go to through customs at the Gimpo Airport in Seoul, and they tell me, the customs agent sees my U.S. passport, sees my name. Oh, Young Kim, you are Korean. And I just nodded, but inside I was going, yes, Young Kim, prodigal son, has returned to the land of his ancestry. And then he started shooting questions in Korean at me. And I said, whoa, English, please. And as he stamps my passport, hands it to me with a frown, he says, then you are not Korean. The rest of the trip went downhill. Every Korean businessman I saw, they saw Young Kim. They assumed I could speak Korean, and I would say English only. I'd give them the rigmarole about growing up in the South. And came to a head, I guess, on day four, we went to a Korean restaurant. You know, I'd had 4 days of Korean food. I love Korean food, but not for 4 days. And my system started to go, okay, purge. So I went to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom, and it's a Korean squat toilet. And I knew I was because, you know, up here, this part looks Korean, but everything below is Western. I cannot squat and without getting poop on my shoes, on my ankles. That was my first real encounter with the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief. The five stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. We have to go through that to get over anything. Sometimes those stages take a lifetime, sometimes it takes a year, sometimes it takes a month, but in my case, I had 30 seconds because I had 2 inches of sphincter muscle holding back 30 years of identity crisis angst about to come flying out my anus. So, denial. I walk in. Oh, no. There is not a sit-down toilet here. Anger. These friends. Bargaining. Okay, maybe I can just lie down and hang my over the thingy. Depression was, I thought I was Korean. And then finally I came to acceptance. That was my Kubler-Ross experience. I hope you pick up on the TMI theme. I came home and I realized that America is where I belong. America is home. Milwaukee, the most American of cities, is my home. I belong here. Thank you.
And that was Young Kim's story. He was the audience favorite from our second story slam in March.
I love how he broke that down to the different levels of grief. And
yes.
That was so appropriate. And you only had 30 seconds to make that happen.
That was a great night. And I got to tell you, Garfield's 502 is an awesome place. They have great food. And we just packed the house that night. Actually, we packed both of those nights. We sold out for both of those events. Yeah, speaking of, we have a All-Stars event coming up. We would love to sell that night out at Turner Hall Ballroom on May 18th. We also have a couple of fellowship events coming up. All story information and more can be found at xfabula.org.
Well, until then, glad that we had these stories to hear today, and look forward to having you back next week.
I'll be here.
Okay, thanks, Leah.